participated. We're in Luke chapter 2. I have verse 16 down there, and I have verse 7 in my notes. We'll be somewhere in Luke chapter 2 by the time we get there. The year was 1960, and if there was a welfare system in place in southern Indiana, it was unknown to Nora, a single mother, six children, five boys, and a little girl. Her husband had recently left, much to the delight of the children, but Nora wouldn't miss getting beaten. But what little money he gave her for groceries and rent needed to come in somehow. She scoured the local ads and the local businesses, and all she could come up with was the need for a counterperson at a truck stop just outside of town called Big Wheel. She made 65 cents an hour plus tips, and out of that she paid a teenager a dollar a night to spend the night on the couch while she was at work. She worked the graveyard shift. Her low point came realizing Christmas was coming. She'd patched the kids' clothes so much it looked like they were wearing quilts. She managed to find some old things and put a fresh coat of paint on them just so there'd be something under the tree. The tree they harvested from a lot adjacent to their home. She walked out of that Big Wheel early Christmas morning and couldn't believe her eyes. Her car was packed with blue jeans, shirts, socks, five toy trucks, and a baby doll. It was the greatest Christmas of her life. She writes, "There were angels in Indiana that long ago December, and they all hung out at the Big Wheel truck stop. Truckers Les, Frank, and Jim, and a state trooper named Joe." You know, it's people that make Christmas special, and doing special things makes people great. Keep your eyes open this week. I know we're busy. I know we've got plans and the gift buying and everything else. But the greatest present that you'll receive this week is finding somebody in need that you can help. It'll give a joy like no other. Luke chapter 2, I'm pretty sure we're at verse 7. "And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." Father, how simple. How tragic in a way. And yet how beautiful. Lord, help us to simplify, to boil it down, to not get lost in all the wrapping and trimmings. But as Ray said earlier, help us to keep our focus right on you through this season. And may we be a conduit of you to everybody else as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Special thanks to C.M. Ward. Have anybody heard that name before, C.M. Ward? He was Revival Time preacher back when I was a kid. The voice of the Assemblies of God. Around the corner and around the world, it's Revival Time with C.M. Ward is how it used to go. But he gave me a couple of seed thoughts for today's message, and I just wanted to appreciate that. That first Christmas could have been thought of as rather barren and lean for dear Mary and Joseph. Hospitality and provisions were skimpy at best. Newly married under dubious conditions, traveling exposed to the elements, no way to book ahead. There was no Expedia, hotels.com. They couldn't depend on anybody along the way or once they got there for any kind of help. Is that any way to begin life together? And Mary, as the King James puts it, great with child. Isn't that a great description? Great with child. They find shelter in a shed, a small barn where Mary gives birth. We talk about that all the time. But have you stopped to wonder about it recently? Have you been in a barn recently? Kirvin, have you been in a barn recently? Yeah, a couple hours ago. They're not all warm and snuggly, are they? They're a bit drafty even by their design. Our Savior, born in a place like that. No doctor, no midwife, no hospital bed, no delivery room. A barn. A lady who's never given birth before, and her husband. Oh, holy night indeed. Weary from travel, they find shelter in this little place. Contractions are becoming more frequent, more intense. It's time. This is it. Perhaps they were concerned about all the geopolitical things that were going on. Caesar has made an edict, everybody to their hometown to be counted and taxed. I wonder how many steps along the way they talked about that and that's Caesar. Oh, what's next? Why is all this happening this way? But not right now. As the pains intensify, they focus with great attention on life and death and the things that are right in front of them. Each of them knew women and babies who had not survived the birthing process. And as the contractions get closer together, the pain increases. Joseph tries to remain calm for Mary's sake, but inside he's all tore up himself. The young couple had no way of knowing that this day would change the world. It didn't feel so global in these moments. It didn't seem so divine through the labor process. And little did they know that this one birth would change all of history. It would make sense of what had happened. It would give hope to all that was to come. It was the pivotal moment in the history of the world. It would change from generation to generation. On the surface, nothing to celebrate here. Much to complain about. Have you ever laid on straw? It can be a little pokey, a little itchy. Even if you've got a blanket over the top of it, it has a way of finding its way through there. And suddenly all that changed. With one last push, Jesus was born. And they held him in their arms. The greatest gift ever given. A redefinition of all that is life. As it turns out, it was actually the best Christmas ever. They received Jesus into their lives, into their family. Can you imagine holding the Christ child? I find holding a calm baby one of the most comforting things in all of life. You ever smell a new baby? So fresh, so clean. It's comforting like nothing else. Very special. But what about the Christ child? What about that particular baby? Craig Nell was telling us in the prayer room before we came over that they had attended a nativity scene, a reenactment, when they were young and their daughter was only 3 years old. And the daughter started chattering, "I want to hold baby Jesus. I want to hold baby Jesus." And she wouldn't give it up. Even after the production was over, they went outside where the cast was, and they still weren't able to get to baby Jesus, and she just wouldn't give it up all the way home. "I want to hold baby Jesus." And that's something. So when they got home, Mom dressed her little Sophie up like Mary. She said, "Do you want to be Mary?" She said, "Yes." And gave her a baby doll. They wrapped it in swaddling clothes and handed it to her. And they said, not just for the day, but for weeks afterwards. She put that baby in a carriage and she was Mary. When they went to the store, she was dressed like Mary and she had little Jesus in her. She wanted to hold baby Jesus. And he said, then when she was in high school, they went to the Christmas production at Bermudian Springs High School. And their daughter stepped forward, unbeknownst to them. And she sang a solo as if she was Mary. And he said the tears flowed and he got all excited as he put the pieces together. This little girl who just wanted to hold baby Jesus and wanted to be a part of that scene. Well, what was it like to be Mary, to be Joseph? The presence had to be undeniable. And in that moment, all the miles that they had traveled and all the hardships they had gone through, maybe the rebuke of a few people along the way, it meant nothing. The joy of this birth, the joy in these moments. And what would it have been worth to have held him and to have held him and to have held him? To have watched him grow and to see the wonder in his eyes and all that was going on. You know, he had younger brothers and sisters that came along. And I have to think, I can understand why they were not believers in Jesus until after he was raised from the dead. Can you imagine being Jesus' younger sibling? Boy, I wish you were more like Jesus. Well, Jesus never did that when he was your age, you know. Oh, yeah, Jesus, the perfect one, they would say. He actually was. He actually was. But to have beheld him, to hear some of the things that he would have said, oh, the wonder that it would have brought to our life. So they had Jesus. We can talk about the barn. We can talk about the travel. We can talk about the hardships. But the prize was worth everything that the journey costs. They have this little one in their arms. Think about that night for everybody else. Oh, there were people that lived in a palace. And they had servants running here and there, and they were nice and warm, and they had everything they wanted and more. But they didn't have Jesus. And they were not part of the divine plan being unfolded. Oh, maybe they were, but it was peripheral. It was anti, actually. How many of those in that palace would go to live in a palace? And how many would miss the kingdom altogether? And then everyone else had their homes. As humble as they might have been, there would have been provisions. There would have been stores of food. There would be extra clothes and blankets if they needed. It was a little hovel, but it was home. They were snug. They were well, but they weren't holding Jesus. You, my friend, have been through some things. Maybe you've questioned why everybody else has this and that, and why are we the ones that have to go through this, and this is very difficult, and this is very hard. There's one key to life. Do you have Jesus? And if you have him, that changes everything else. It really doesn't matter whether you've got a palace. It really doesn't matter how well outfitted your home is or how it sticks out in the neighborhood. What kind of a career you have had or advantages you've won. Do you have Jesus? That's the only question that's going to matter when the page turns, you know. And all that we have can disappear really quickly. We know that. Do you have Jesus? Do you have Jesus? Because we're promised that his grace is sufficient. And Paul said, I have learned to have plenty and I've learned to live in want. I've learned a secret. You notice he didn't really fill in the rest of that. What's your secret, Paul? I think he's assuming that we know that secret. And his name is Jesus. And if you've got him with you, he'll see you through. Never once did we ever walk alone. Amen. Never once did he leave us on our own. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is true. So time stands still for a moment as the holy couple holds Jesus. Love grows. They bond, each to the other and both to the Lord. Oh, what hard times can do when you and your spouse have been through the mill. When one lies in a hospital bed, when you get to walk out of that hospital together, don't you love each other all the more because of what you were just through? These are the times that makes us one. It's not the reception and all the gifts and the honeymoon and the good food and everything. Oh, that's wonderful. It's good. But when you have walked through the fire together, then your hearts are melted. Can you go there in your heart and mind? That very special night, the moments linger. No angels appeared to them that night, although I'm sure they were gathered all around. And if they had been in the room, I don't think they would have noticed them at all. For they have the Christ child himself right here. Now, Christmas has come with expectations these days. Will we be with family? Will I get that special something I've been asking for? Did I buy the right gifts that will really light the lamp of their heart? Will they be heartwarmed when they receive this? Or is it another one of those gifts that's going to go back the next day? Oh, I can't wait to wait in that line for the returns once again. Merry Christmas indeed. Turkey? Ham? Both? Stuffing, mashed potatoes, green bean casserole, or perhaps candied yams this year? Are we traveling or hosting? Oh, so many decisions. We have to keep in mind, it's not my birthday. It's not their birthday. Who is it that we celebrate? What made that first Christmas special is still needed today in his presence. His presence is heaven to me. Jesus, we can have all the food and all the gifts and all the colors and everything else. And if you don't show up, it's just going to be lame or worse. There'll be an argument over this, and there'll be a trouble over that, and somebody will spill something on the new whatever, and on it will go. I wonder if all our trappings help or hinder. I was surprised to find out. Somebody asked me this week, are you having church the day after Christmas? I thought, well, what an odd question. But their church isn't having church the day after Christmas. They're going to do a Zoom bit of a service that they've taped. And you can go on and say, I guess everybody's so busy. You know? We're from a different generation, I suppose. But I thought that's what Christmas was all about. I thought that's why we had church. That if there hadn't been a Christmas, there would never be a church. But now we're not. We're just go online and click your service. Another one is doing, what do they call it? Pajamas and pancakes. Everybody's going to come Sunday morning in their pajamas and they're going to have pancakes and whatever. This is going to be, that's going to be church. I just, like I said, I'm from a different generation, I suppose. There's some things I don't get. But it's not our birthday. And it's not about the turkey or the ham or the are you having church? Wow. What a question. How Jesus stood out against the stark and dank backdrop then. It was a stable, but not anymore. Jesus is here, And suddenly it's a different place. It's been transformed. And certainly by the time the shepherds file in and gather around it, it is a royal birth indeed. Can Jesus still stand out against all of the glitz and glamour of the day? All the specials that go on and all of the lights and such? The exaggerated menu, the packages under the tree. Does he now have competition for his glory and grace? No. No competition. Not now, not ever. There is no substitute for what he alone can bring to the party. A moment alone with him is more powerful than an evening filled with family and friends and food and presents. Or do you even know what I'm talking about? Is it real to you? This relationship with Jesus, do you hold him in your heart? Does he change the way you think? Does he come alongside? Does he change the mood in the room when you think about him? Does he lift your spirits? Does he take you to a different place? Is this just religious hyperbole or seasonal nostalgia? Am I caught up in sentiment and memories, hopes, and dreams? Not for me. For me, it's very real. They held Jesus, and now Jesus holds us. C.M. Ward writes of being raised by the son of a Pentecostal preacher, cast out of the mainline churches, had next to nothing. In fact, their church was meeting in a storefront. And for them, Christmas was maybe an orange or a few more raisins in the stuffing. I remember my dad talking about that during those Depression years. He said that's exactly what it was. They would get an orange and they would eat the peel as well as the insides of the orange. It was such a special treat for them. And maybe they would have fish. They didn't have fish other times of the year. And that was the special part of it. They would roll up a newspaper and that would be their football that they would play with in the backyard. Well, C.M. Ward said he started his ministry the year the stock market crashed. They were a needy couple in a sea of needy people, but they had Jesus. They didn't have all the tremendous meal and presents, but they had Jesus. They had no salary. They preached Jesus. They prayed for the sick and those in need. And somehow, there was always food on their table and enough to share with those who were in more need than they. And there was always a roof over their head. You see, they had Jesus. The ones to be pitied of all are not those who don't have a tree, not those who don't have the presents, not those who are alone on this holiday. Those to be pitied above all are those who do not have Jesus. It wasn't Christmas until Jesus showed up. And it isn't Christmas until Jesus is raised up, until he is recognized, until he is loved and he is adored. You can get all caught up in the who's visiting this week, are they staying overnight? And what are we having for breakfast and lunch and dinner? It's not Christmas until Jesus is lifted up. Lost and lonely, no future hope, facing a godless eternity. Oh, indeed. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Heaven came down and glory filled our souls. My sins were washed away and my night he turned to day. Heaven came down and glory filled our souls. Would you stand with me this morning?